Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the Milkpacking District, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A man drives his van into a Shell station. A 14-year-old charged with aggravated murder will be tried as an adult. And a woman bites another chick's lip off in a bar fight.
Awesome. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, brace yourself for this. Is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, February 8th, 2011. A Washington County, Oregon judge has decided that a 14-year-old charged with aggravated murder and a fatal stabbing will be tried as an adult. Juan Carlos Negrete Vasquez was 13 when he was arrested in October of 2009, several days after 19-year-old Eduardo Aldrade Alcantar was killed in a park and left on a riverbank in Cornelius, Oregon. Police say Negrete Vasquez struck the victim several times in the back of the head with a tire iron, and he and a 20-year-old man took turns stabbing him. Chief Deputy District Attorney Robert Bletko told the Oregonian that Judge Jim Fun has granted prosecutors' request,
aptly named or not,
to send the teen's case to adult court. Judge Fun. Yeah. In adult court, a juvenile convicted of aggravated murder in Oregon can be sentenced to life in prison with a chance of parole in 30 years.
It sounds like one of those things that is either, I suspect that they're, it seems like these are probably not folks who traffic in irony. Because otherwise it would be like, oh, you're going to Judge Fun, which would be sort of like, you know, like Judge Goodtime. And Judge Goodtime is the guy that sends you right to the chair.
Yeah.
You know, that's the guy that sends you to death row.
He beats you first, yeah. And then,
Otherwise, Judge Fun would be the guy that you go to because he lets you out on, like, work release or something. Near a 7-Eleven with lax security.
He's a circus clown.
Yeah.
Judge Fun.
Honk one for death.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a lot of joy in Judge Fun's courtroom today.
Seems like that young man has had all the fun he's probably going to have in his life for quite some time.
For quite a long time.
All right.
In news of my neighborhood, a man drove a van into the Shell gas station at I-5 and Nyberg Road late Monday night and told police there was a bomb in his van. The Portland Police Bureau sent a bomb squad but found nothing. Serrano Zacharias, 33, of Lakewood, Washington, was arrested in Hell on accusations of criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and DUII. He said alcohol and Lieutenant Greg Pickering of the Tualatin Police said alcohol and other drugs may be a factor.
Well, it seems like alcohol isn't really a factor. It seems like other drugs may have been. You'd have to get really, really, really drunk to think that there was a bomb inside your van, if that wasn't in fact the case.
And when they say that he drove the van into the Shell gas station, they mean he drove it into the convenience mart of the Shell gas station.
Like drove it inside the walls
of? Like drove it through the big glass windows and into the store.
I thought you meant like he just sort of like drove it into like, hey, could you take a look at this? I think there's some gunk on the windshield, also a bomb.
No, this was like something out of like the chase scene at the end of a wacky teen sitcom that the van...
Into. Lots of space in this mall.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, got it.
That makes only the second time. Well, I mean, there was a kid who did my driver's ed class. But, I mean, that makes, I think, the second time in the last 6 months that we've had somebody do it here in these parts, as they say. Where a guy's like, you know, a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. Too close. And, you know, it's because he's like an aisle 12 or something. So he drove all the way in. What would be the point of driving into a convenience store? Like, even if you got a bomb in your van, what are they going to do about it? Why would you not drive to the police station?
I'm wondering if it wasn't just an accident because he was, like, all effed up on whatever it was he was doing.
A bomb.
And then he just to try and save face, he just yelled, "A gun bomb!"
He figured that old people have ruined the stuck accelerator excuse.
Yeah. All right. So at least he could get some fear out of people before his ultimate humiliation.
That's what I try to do. That's how I live my life. That's the motto by which I roam this planet. Get some fear out of people before my ultimate humiliation.
We could make T-shirts.
All right. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It's Tuesday, February 8th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news, also science in the march. You want to get this program later on the day, you can do it via iTunes. Also as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. That is either here at Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.fm. If you're already listening to this program as a direct MP3 download, then you could ignore everything I just said because it's pointless. You can also get it as a feed to your mobile device if you would like. If you'd like to take it with you on your on the road, as Willie Nelson would say. That's mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Somebody says, I work with Judge Fun every day. I don't know if that's code for something. Says he's actually a pretty good judge, just saying.
Okay.
Says this guy.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Guy.
Somebody wants to know if Judge Fun works down the hall from Dr. Feelgood. No, I don't believe so. Do you know there's that guy here? Did I ever tell you that when I went to the when I was going to one of my shrinks, my shrink was a shrink to which I didn't go very long. This is kind of a nutcase. But he was between two different things. He was between that radio station, The Fish, the God Station.
Oh yeah.
It was like in the same building as and down the hall from The Fish. So it's like he would pass all these station vehicles with the big Jesus fish or whatever in the hallway, and he was like nothing but Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith, I think, piped in. So it was between the Fish radio station and then the other thing that was across the hall from my shrink. I swear to God, a dentist, Dr. Tongue.
Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah.
You would have to become a dentist if that was your name.
How great was it? Dr. Tongue.
Yeah.
Which just seems like it ought to be the name of a... Because it was the guy in the Muppet Show, Dr. Teeth?
Yes. Well, there was Dr. Tongue on Second City Television, played by John Candy, who had the 3D late night show.
Well, this was an actual Dr. Tongue, and he was a dentist.
And they show these movies like Dr. Tongue's 3D House of Stewardesses. So, yeah, Dr. Tongue.
This, not that. A doctor of dental health.
Well, speaking of names that we love, Trilby Lundberg is back to tell us that gasoline prices have risen for 19 straight weeks.
Go, Trilby.
According to the Lundberg survey.
Really?
Okay. Trilby says...
Why would you call it the Trilby Index? That's totally what I would do if I was her.
The Trilby Index.
According to the Trilby Index. All right, I'm just saying. Yeah. All right,
maybe she thought Lundberg carried more weight.
Okay.
Anyway, Trilby Lundberg says that gas prices are up yet again.
Gasoline prices moved up just a little in the past 2 weeks, a penny and a half. Regular grade now averages $3.13 nationally.
Okay. Maybe she's some sort of a prodigy or something. Maybe she's got some affinity with, some acuity with numbers. Yeah, there's some sort of, she has some preternatural ability with math or whatever.
By the way, Thomas Gill sent us a photograph
of... A sideways text message?
Of Burger King... Onion ring flavored snacks from the dollar store.
So maybe they've got the whole line of failed snack
Apparently
products.
Apparently so.
It's not just the cheese fries. It's onion ring flavored. Are they like Funyuns, but just from Burger King?
They look like Funyuns.
I wonder if this is because they were planning on introducing some of these foods at their restaurants and they never did, and so then they got to dump the tie-in products because the real thing never happened.
Well, they have onion rings at Burger King.
Do they?
Oh yeah, they're terrible. They're made with mashed up onion. And
reconstituted
then,
onion.
And then just extruded into ring form. Yeah, they're terrible.
So it was like it wasn't like they were just going to stick the Burger King name on a bunch of pre-existing crap.
No.
Not entirely.
But obviously they just licensed the Burger King name to people
Funyun.
Who make horrible snack foods.
Interesting.
Because my God, Those
is that from the dollar store, you said?
That's what Thomas Gill
I
says,
I think
yes.
I got that message from him, and I didn't get a chance to actually look at it. I think I was doing that thing. I realized I was about to be checking email in my car, and I had to force myself not to do it.
Authorities have made an arrest in a weekend convenience store robbery that a Seattle store owner found remarkable for the robber's politeness. Sergeant John Urquhart of the King County Sheriff's Office says officers quickly identified the suspect from tips received after surveillance video of Saturday's robbery went viral. A polite middle-aged man pulled a gun on store owner John Henry after buying a cup of coffee and then apologetically demanded the store's money. The exchange was captured on the store's security system.
Empty that till for me, please. Put it right here.
What do you mean?
Empty the till. Put your bills right here because I'm robbing you, sir.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
And I've got this pain all up and down my left side, and my mother keeps nagging me to become a doctor.
Well, he told him, I'm robbing you, sir. Took $300, apologized, and said he had bills to pay and children to feed. And if he ever gets back on his feet, he told the man, he'd pay the money back. Urquhart did not identify the 65-year-old man arrested Monday at a residence near the robbery site. They also say, here we have him leaving with his promise.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I really am sorry. And if I ever get back on my feet again, sir, I'll bring it back.
I saw something else about this story, but they said that the guy was actually... He seemed so legitimately apologetic for it that the manager actually tried to give him money from his own wallet.
Because the
guy took the money out of the till, and the manager's like, let me give you an extra 10. And the guy's like, no, I really have to be going. I'm double parked. And he left it. But the manager actually tried to give him money out of his own pocket. That's how convincing the guy was. So well done, I guess, everyone in the story.
The snow day, the holy grail of students and office workers, may soon be an unfortunate casualty of the internet age, according to USA Today. As the country has been hit with more snow than usual this year, schools and companies have come up with tech-savvy ways to cope with the inconvenience, moving some of their day-to-day activities online. In St. Louis, Georgia, and Ohio high schools, classes were conducted on the internet during snow days, and a number of colleges are telecasting lectures, although attendance tends to suffer. Skype is also becoming an increasingly popular classroom tool. The company notes that with more homes and hospitals adapting the video chat service, it's also enabling the death of another school era favorite, sick days.
Well, why should bullies be the only one who's taking their activities online? Why shouldn't everybody do that?
That's right. Yay, sickness. That is sad, though, that you don't get to just stay home sick anymore.
Well, being a kid blows. I mean, let's have no illusions about that. Being a kid sucks. There's nothing. I mean, I'm not gonna say there's nothing good about it, but there are very few things about being a child that is so vastly outweighed at certain sections of your life by just all of the miserable things about being a kid. Largely, you just don't control your own destiny. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Some screw telling you when to get out of bed, when to go to sleep, what to eat, what to wear. It's no way to live. It's no way to try to, no way to have an existence.
And then you go to school and somebody just walks up in the middle of the hall and punches you for no reason.
Seriously. What?
Okay.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, coming up later on this hour, Science on the March, also entertainment news. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program today, Geek Watch, Penis Watch, Democracy on the March. A little bit of a business. So our interview with Joel Carter of Justify that is actually going to be happening Thursday. That is not Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, so it'll be happening actually the day after tomorrow. So Joel Carter from Justify is going to be in the show this coming Thursday. Today, Geek Watch, Penis Watch, Democracy in the March, and the Top 5. That is all coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
After a three-week trial and 1 hour of deliberations, an upstate New York jury on Monday found Muzamil Mo Hassan guilty of second-degree murder for beheading his wife. In February 2009, Hassan, who founded a TV network aimed at countering Muslim stereotypes, went to a police station in the Buffalo, New York suburb of Orchard Park and told officers his wife was dead.
Somebody didn't read the mission statement.
Asaya Hassan had been decapitated, and prosecutor Paul Bonanno said during opening arguments that the long knife used by her husband had left marks on his office's tile floor. Hassan gave his own closing arguments Monday. Early in the trial, he had dismissed his attorney, who by trial's end was acting as his legal advisor. Hassan listened quietly to the jury's verdict. Hassan has the right to appeal after he is sentenced. On the day she died, Asaya Hassan agreed to take some of her husband's clothes to the office after he had moved out of their home. He had told her he wouldn't be there, prosecutors said. The defendant viciously killed and desecrated her body because 6 days earlier she had dared to file for divorce, said Assistant District Attorney Paul Bonanno, dared to seek a better life for herself and the children. His defense lawyer said in the opening statement the couple's marriage was a sad and unhealthy relationship.
Is it troubled?
And that Asiyah Hassan threatened to embarrass his client and take away his children. So it ended with Mo Hassan in fear for his very life. So apparently he had to cut her head off.
All right.
As one does during a messy divorce.
Of course.
Where am I? Oh, here. Do something a little lighter after the beheading. Do you have the sound file?
This is from the Dropbox. Mm-hmm. Yes, let me put that on the soundboard right now. Let's see. Let me do that right here. Don't forget, coming up later in this hour, we get your entertainment news as well. That'll be coming up. Also, Science on the March. This is Polar One that we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, that is ready to go. Yes.
Okay. Local students are working together with the Oregon Zoo to make a difference for polar bears. The students helped kick off the zoo's Be Cool event Monday. The goal is to educate people about global warming and the effect it has on polar bears. The students developed community projects relating to climate change. Some planted trees, while others shared what they've learned about the topic. This is student Genevieve Warner explaining to you the complexities involved in saving polar bears.
Polar bears are a part of where we live in our ecosystem, and they're a major animal, and letting them go extinct and letting them not have enough land to live because ice caps are melting isn't okay.
Okay.
There'll be a special presentation about polar bears and global warming at 7 p.m. Tuesday night tonight at the zoo. Tickets are available online by going to the Oregon Zoo's website.
Everybody now get in your cars and drive to the zoo so you can watch someone talk to you about global warming.
Yeah, she...
We're really making it easier for polar bears when you think about it. They won't need all that fur anymore. They can lounge about in less restrictive outerwear.
Yeah.
Who is this? We just heard explaining the nuances of our planet.
This is student Genevieve Warner, who was sharing all the intensive knowledge she has acquired about polar bears.
As valedictorian of her school. Probably not.
Letting them not have enough land to live because ice caps are melting isn't okay.
I don't think it's actually land, but I mean, we'll just let that be a distinction that we let pass. That's okay. All right. Okay. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Here is Don Taylor.
We're mocking high school students. Are we proud of ourselves?
I'm not mocking high school students. I'm mocking her.
Yeah. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says the comments that Egypt is not ready for democracy made by Egyptian Vice President Suleiman were unhelpful.
I think we could have figured that out, by the way. I don't really know that we needed Egypt to clarify that. I think we might have sussed out that they haven't fully embraced the concept.
Yes, but according to Robert Gibbs, though, them saying that out loud just isn't helping things.
Well,
Eddie.
Really, what could Egypt do that would help things at this point, honestly?
Gibbs says part of the reason there is a threat of instability is because the people need to know change is coming.
I think the president will have a chance to talk with them many of the things that he outlined in the State of the Union, and I have no doubt that they have their cares and concerns as well.
I love the idea, by the way, that the, you know, that sounds a lot like...
Yes, at this point, we are only hopeful that the regulators will give us some clarity about their expectations, and then we can plan on that basis.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vice President Suleiman. So what is up with your eye over there?
Oh, I got something in my eye.
It's like the third day in a row that spider egg has been in your eye.
I know. It's growing into a giant spider,
hatching.
I think. It's hatching.
Yes.
They're hatching in my eye.
Is it like an itch?
I think I have flaky mascara or something. I think is the problem.
Wait, let me look closer. No, it's spiders. Full of spiders, your eye is. All right.
Maybe I'll get a spider eye on this side, and so I'll have the power of, like, 8 extra eyes.
Okay. So is this a thing where, like, the vice president is talking, where, like, Gibbs is trying to make some statement or Obama's saying something, and the vice president, we're not ready for democracy! And Gibbs, you're not helping!
Pretty much. Although, I believe he said that it sounded like he was just making up crap. Gibbs, because he's stammering a whole lot, and then he's like, and Obama's like, I don't know, telling him stuff be covered in the State of the Union address, which doesn't really make any sense at all. Like, why would Obama be going to the vice president of Egypt saying, let me tell you the stuff I said in the State of the Union address? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, what are they going to talk about? Golf? I mean, really, what is their common ground going to be? So, so do you do much fishing? No.
Yeah, but the State of the Union address, isn't that about what's going on here in the United States?
Yes, but we live
States?
In a global community now, Don. The world is interconnected. Also, like, all of our money goes to Egypt, so, you know.
Well, Vice President Suleiman said that Egypt was not ready for democracy.
Tomorrow afternoon at 12:30, the president will host Speaker Boehner, Majority Leader Cantor, and Majority Whip McCarthy for lunch here at the White House.
I'll put it this way, that it's like if there's like, you know, if you got two deadbeat relatives and you're just having to give them, money just hand over fist, like day in and day out. The two deadbeat relatives, by the way, in this story are Israel and Egypt. You know, and it's like they just keep, you know, end of the month comes, they just don't seem to have any saved. They just need more money from you somehow. And you're just going, well, I just gave you 500, fine Christ. And you're just writing them, okay, don't spend it at the liquor store, jackass. And you hand it to, your deadbeat relative. But instead of spending it, you know, on like food, you know, he just spends it on like a larger implement with which to beat his wife for looking him in the eye. You might go over, you know, if you're having a barbecue with him or something, and you might say, you know what we do at my house is, we do less beating and more saving and getting a job of our own so that we can pay our own goddamn expenses. That's what we do, deadbeat relative. That's Egypt.
Yeah,
so that's why he would be talking to them about the State of the Union. He'd be saying, like, here's what we're doing in our country. We try to set fewer people on fire.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. And then the deadbeat relative just looks at you and goes, okay, so do you still want your cars to run?
Yeah, well, it's where the deadbeat relative says, oh, we're not really ready at that point yet. Janice quite isn't at the she's not at the thinking for herself stage of our relationship yet. So we're going to continue to do that for her. It's all the same to you.
Well, prosecutors in Washington State have filed a felony assault charge against a woman accused of biting the lower lip off another woman at a Yakima nightclub.
Yakima nightclub, really?
The Yakima Herald Republic reports 37-year-old Casey Mae Gonzalez. By the way, Casey is spelled K-A-Y-C-E-E.
Of course it is. Casey Mae Gonzalez!
Was arraigned Monday.
Ow. That was me leaning forward just there.
Was arraigned Monday for the January 23 attack.
The problem with doing that shout is that you got to like lean forward because it's got to be off mic.
Right.
And if I lean back, then it's not sufficiently. So I have to do this.
Yeah, then you bonk your head.
And then I do the bonking of the thing with the deal. Yeah. I'm sorry, Casey Mae Gonzalez.
Yeah, Casey Mae Gonzalez. This happened at Jack Sun's Sports Bar.
Uh-huh.
It's Jack
S-U-N.
Hyphen and then Sons as a separate name, but with a hyphen in between. Sports bar.
Maybe it's two guys. Maybe it's like he's white, he's Asian. Together they own a bar. He's Jack. He's Son.
The victim told police she was in the back of the bar when Gonzalez attacked her without warning. Police said the woman was missing a large section of her lower lip, and the injury was consistent with teeth marks.
What's the point of warning somebody if you want to win the attack? I mean, really, you don't go like, hey, in 10 seconds, I'm going to rush you and bite your lip.
On the other hand, though, why would you just fling yourself at someone and bite their lower lip off without provocation?
Because you live in Yakima and your life sucks. Mm. You live in Yakima and every day you wake up and you're still in Yakima and you wonder what you did in a past life to earn that punishment.
Like, what will make me feel better? I'll bite someone's lip off.
Here's the only thing that'll make you feel better if you're in Yakima. Just ending your life as soon as possible so you can give the karmic wheel another spin. Have you ever been to Yakima?
I don't believe, go there. I believe I've driven through Yakima.
You'll know.
That's about it.
Yes. Did you reach a point where you couldn't read anything?
No.
Yes.
Two people died in separate crashes over Super Bowl weekend, according to the Oregon State Police, and there was an uptick in arrests related to driving under the influence of intoxicants. Surprise, surprise. On Sunday night, a man died after crashing into the back of a U.S. mail truck near Sandy. Early Monday morning, a woman died in a hit-and-run crash in northeast Portland. Two passengers in the other car were hospitalized, and the driver was arrested. Last year, there were no deadly crashes in Oregon during the same weekend, troopers say. According to state police, troopers also made more DUI arrests this year compared with Super Bowl weekend last year. In total, 59 people were arrested on DUI charges. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Super Bowl Sunday has become one of the nation's most dangerous days on the roadways because of drunk drivers.
Seriously, every single time that Laura and I had to leave the house anywhere to go anywhere on Sunday, it was that thing of, you know, like sort of the, remember, let's be careful out there, because you just, as it is on certain holidays, where you drive real carefully, real slowly, real defensively, because the road is filled with idiots. Just like on the night before Christmas when everybody's like bolting around trying to get all their shopping done. Yeah, I came here on Sunday, and I just tried to stay here for as long as possible so I could just avoid the, you know, the whatnot.
Yeah, we made sure early in the weekend that we were stocked with everything we needed, and then we just never left the apartment, like, all weekend. Of course, I spent a lot of it sleeping, so, you know.
Somebody would like to note that this is because of, it's because of this assessment of the global situation earlier with the...
Polar bears are a part of where we live in our ecosystem, and they're a major animal, and letting them
a
go
major animal.
And letting
a major
them animal. Not have enough land to live because uh-huh. ice caps are melting isn't okay.
Right, the very model of a modern major animal. And anyway, so somebody wanted to note, as a local science teacher, I can't count the times, she says. As a local science teacher, I can't count the number of times I've had students ask me, so is 2012 going to happen like in that movie? Yes, you should say yes. I'll give you all the money in my wallet right now if you just say yes and go. And look at them really sternly and then shake your head and go, yes. Nod your head back and forth and then go, there's nothing you can shake your head and go, there's nothing that can be done. If I were you, I'd get to higher ground now, kids.
I don't even know why you're in school, really.
Seriously, what's the point of learning? Live for today. Go run. Be free.
Let's do science.
Here's your... haven't we already had science, Dawn?
Polar bears are a part of where we live in our...
This is great on so many levels. Do we know how old this girl is that maybe you've already said that?
She's in high school. I'm really not sure.
So somewhere between 13 and 18?
Yeah.
Somewhere between 13 and old enough to vote?
Yep.
That's
she's
great.
She looked like she was about 16.
Okay. That's.
Can we hear it one more time? I just love this sound clip so much.
As long as putting her in charge of motor vehicles.
Polar bears are a part of where we live in our ecosystem, and
that's wonderful. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a major animal.
Science on the march. That's the sort of thing polar bears brag about to the other creatures at the zoo. By the way, I'm a major animal.
You know, I'm kind of a big deal. Say the polar bears.
You know who I am? All right.
66 survivors of a pod of 80 pilot whales that beached in New Zealand freed themselves and swam back to sea during a high tide, rescuers said on Saturday. 14 of the pod were unable to be saved and had died, Conservation Department spokeswoman Trish Grant said. The whales came ashore at Golden Bay, north of the city of Nelson, on the tip of South Island on Friday afternoon. About 100 rescuers had been unable to refloat the whales before darkness fell Friday night. The rescuers set up camp nearby with plans to try again at first light. Grant said the rescuers returned to the site of the stranding Saturday morning to find the whales had gone. It appeared a high tide around midnight had allowed the stranded whales to free themselves. She said, "We don't know whether they have managed to swim safely out to sea or whether they may have stranded somewhere else along the coast. Some, even though they were refloated, do wash up dead later on because they've been through such an ordeal, so they're considerably weakened by it." Pilot whales are about 13 to 20 feet long and are the most common species of whale in New Zealand. Whale strandings are commonplace in New Zealand. Last month, 24 pilot whales died after stranding on the North Island. Anyone who's ever pumped their own gas downwind of a tank knows the telltale smell of fuel, Rick Emerson. But even from a distance, those fumes linger. Researchers in Spain found that gas fumes contaminate the air up to 328 feet away with potential health hazards. The airborne chemicals come mostly from unburned fuel evaporated during refilling of the station's storage tanks, during automobile refueling, and from spillage. The researchers from the University of Murcia measured the levels of two common gasoline-related pollutants, benzene and hexane, in the area around the stations. Then they compared these levels to the contamination caused by normal automobile traffic and found higher levels in areas around gas stations.
I just wonder how to not get it on my hands, like when I'm in Washington and I have to pump my own gas. 37 years I've been alive. There's no way you can pump gas without getting it on your hands or your shoes, like half the time. I just wanted the guy who solves that, that's the guy that'll get my vote.
Well, the thing to keep in mind, apparently, if you live, housing should be placed a minimum of 50 meters or 164 feet from gas stations. And vulnerable places like hospitals, retirement centers, and schools should be 100 meters away because otherwise.
From where?
From gas stations because you're breathing benzene and hexane. So, 328 feet away, at least, is how far away you should live from a gas station.
Because the Earth isn't a closed system in which we're all basically breathing the same air over and over and over again in any way.
Well,
just put it a little further away, and it'll be fine. That's ridiculous. That's like saying that if like a guy spills oil over there, I should, you know, like in the ocean, I should back up a little bit.
Well, if you back up a little bit, you're not going to get it on you.
Well, but all the... Okay. All right.
If you get far enough away,
there's only so much air. Like, it just goes to... What is it? It doesn't go away. It just takes
it
longer to get to you. Into where? To space?
Into the oxygen. Into the air.
I know.
It dissipates.
But into the air is what you breathe, though.
Yes, but you're not breathing directly a big hunk of benzene if you're far enough away from it.
If I'm sitting next to you and I'm smoking a cigarette, and then I move over here to the other side of the studio and I smoke a cigarette, guess what? You're going to breathe the smoke sooner or later. It's just going to be like another 10 seconds. That's all this is.
Now,
I'm
saying. I go across the street, though, am I still breathing your smoke?
Well, from one guy, no, but from 9 million gas stations, yes. My point is you're going to breathe it eventually anyway. It seems like, I'm just saying, really, all here's the thing. Your clothes aren't going to stink. That's the upside here. It's in the air, it's in the air. Nothing you can do about it. You know this is true, because every time there's a disaster like Mount St. Helens or 9/11, they talk about the stuff going into the air and then landing like in China. You know why? Because it goes into the air and floats, and the Earth is a closed system. You know this is true. Look, you're not like the science girl from the zoo. You know that's true.
No, but I don't...
It doesn't go anywhere.
But the concentrations are low enough that it's not going to be hazardous in the same way it is as it is if you're close to it.
Well, if a guy was filling his car one time, yeah, but 6 billion people filling their cars like 1,000 times over the course of a year? I'm just saying you're going to get cancer from it eventually. The idea that you want to be fragrant when it happens is admirable, but you know what? You're effed. Nothing you can do about it. The Earth is going to kill you eventually. Probably painfully. Can't be stopped. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Polar bears are a part of where we live in our ecosystem, and they're a major animal. And
a major animal, Don. Here's Don Taylor.
An 8-year-old boy who had his nose nearly bitten off by a French bulldog in Rockland, California, is undergoing a special pure oxygen therapy at Mercy San Juan Medical Center aimed at speeding recovery, hospitals officials said Monday.
What is it with biting off body parts today? So we get the lip woman, and then we get the nose guy.
Yeah, nose kid. Jimmy Spear, a third grader at Twin Oaks Elementary School, has undergone plastic surgery and has been getting treatments in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, similar to that used by some pro athletes. And, of course, Michael Jackson. Treatment has gone very well and will most likely finish up today, said Melissa Jew, a hospital representative. The oxygen treatment is intended to help the wound heal. Jew said the boy's family reported the dog bit the boy on February 1st. She said the child initially received treatment in another hospital and was later brought to Mercy San Juan, where he is getting his hyperbaric oxygen treatment for his bitten off nose.
And what does it do with the eye? Is that just where you get like a really, it's like a pressurized, concentrated, it's a force oxygen into your cells, right? Isn't that the deal?
Really, if you think about it, I mean, what's the point of that? Because it's all air, so it's all the same everywhere, right?
I can't tell. Is that comedy? There needs to be some sort of a... You need to put a post-it or a label on that or something. I don't understand the deal. If you dump oil into an aquarium, it eventually fills the aquarium. Now, when you're saying that it dissipates, that's true, but that's from... You're talking about one dose. That dissipates, yes. But eventually, with everybody using... everybody filling their cars at gas stations in every city, in every state, in every country in the world, my point is there's no dissipation after a while because it clogs the atmosphere. It fills the air. So if you had one gas station somewhere, then it would dissipate into the air. But the Earth is a closed system. It doesn't magically go away into Venus, you know, or something. It's not like we fling it through a wormhole to the other end of the universe. Where do you think it goes to? Do you think like gnomes come and they whisk it away to another dimension?
No, but we have plants and trees and stuff that create new oxygen, and then you have gases and toxic elements that are dissipated in the oxygen, and the concentration is higher the closer you are to it, is what they're saying about the gas station.
Yeah, if you stand over if I bring you a bucket full of gas and you stick your head over it, yes, it'll be stronger right there. But my point is, if you're across the room, you will still smell it. Now, if you extrapolate that gas out, I mean, if you extrapolate out one gas station to the entire globe, my point is that it eventually, this isn't like, it seems like this is a thing that's been well established, that the Earth is a closed system, which is why they always talk about why you shouldn't spill oil in the ocean. Why don't they just say, well, the oil will dissipate? What's the difference?
I'm not saying that the benzene and the hexane that the gas stations are pumping into the atmosphere isn't, like, you know, affecting the atmosphere.
And there isn't, like, more oxygen at one point than... It's not like trees create oxygen. you know, to a greater, like, it's not like there's more oxygen today than there was yesterday.
But what they were saying is that it will, it's more damaging and it's more dangerous if you're close enough
if
that
you're right
getting these higher concentrations of it.
I would say it's more dangerous immediately. I mean, it's dangerous, period. It's just a question of how long it's going to take to get to you. Again, if Mount St. Helens explodes, you know, but a week later it landed on China. So are you telling me it didn't really land on China, or it did a week later, so it's okay?
So essentially what you're saying is that the air is toxic.
Yes.
And will kill us eventually.
I'm saying that if it's toxic to put in the air, like, right next to you, it's toxic to put in the air, period, especially if everybody in the world is doing it. It's not like it becomes less toxic if you're standing on the other end of a football field if everybody around you is doing it.
We don't have time for this.
No, but I'm honestly curious, like, why, where the disconnect is happening here. If it's bad for the air, it's bad for the air.
Yes, but what...
Again, why, if that is your argument that it eventually dissipates, then why isn't it right to put, you know, why is it such a big deal to put oil in the ocean? Because you're way over there. You're spilling it, you know, on the other end of the ocean.
What the story is saying is how far away that you should be, like, say, living from this so it won't, like, kill you or give you cancer or you're not just breathing it in all the time. If I open my oven and I blow out the pilot light and you're in the house, you will suffocate and die. If you're outside or across the street, you will not.
Yeah, I understand that. But that's one open oven. We don't live in a world with one open oven. If the gas station is the oven, then guess what? You live in a world where everybody on every block, you've got five or six huge open ovens 24 hours a day in every city, in every state, in every country. You keep comparing it to one open oven. It's not. It is a world of open ovens going 24 hours a day. Fill in the kitchen.
And there is nothing in this closed system, nothing at all, that can, like, help to dissipate that or counterbalance that.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing creates clean oxygen or
creating oxygen and getting rid of, like, benzene from the air, two different things. That's my point. The two different things altogether. And it's opposite day, apparently, because I'm somehow, like, sounding like the environmental guy. I'm just saying, if you dump something in a swimming pool, guess what? It's still there the next day. So, you know, I'm just saying.
I think we need to end science.
Is that the end of science there?
Oh, yes.
All right. There you go. That is Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com. It's 503-252-1609. That is how you contact Squires Electric, 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. If you have questions, needs, if you have repairs, if you have installations, if you have updates, if you have upgrades, if you have something that has gone awry, gone amiss, if you have something that's become an imbroglio or kerfuffle with your electric system in your home or your business, they can take care of it for you. If you've got an inspection that's going to be coming up, if the man is going to be coming and lurking nearby, making sure that everything operates properly, you want to make sure that it's done correctly, done right the first time, because it's going to save you time and money. Also, they are good people and long-time listeners of the Rick Emerson radio program, and also listeners and supporters and fans of Legion of News. That in and of itself should earn your allegiance, ladies and gentlefolk. It's 503-252-1609 in Portland for going on 13 years. Free estimates. There is no job too small or too large, and they'll get you an estimate up front again so you know about what you are going to pay. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, you should contact them because they will make your life better. Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is the Squires Electric, proud sponsors of Science on the March here at Legion of News. Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Also coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program encircles the globe. That is at the rickemersonshow.com. Today, Geek Watch, Penis Watch, Democracy on the March, and your top five. Here is Don Taylor.
Got an email from someone who said that he's now very frightened because he didn't know that polar bears were part of his ecosystem. So,
sir, we are all part of the circle of poo. There's no getting away from it.
A California man attending a cockfight has died after being stabbed in the leg by a bird that had a knife attached to its own limb. The Kern County, California coroner says 35-year-old Jose Luis Ochoa was declared dead at a hospital about 2 hours after he suffered the injury in neighboring Tulare County on January 30th. An autopsy concluded Ochoa died of an accidental sharp force injury to his right calf. Yes,
What?
Oh, I thought you were raising your hand.
Why would I raise my hand?
I don't know. I think you're going to ask a question.
My name is on the network. I don't have to raise my hand.
Sheriff spokesman Ray Pruitt. Wasn't Ray Pruitt a character on, like, Twin Peaks?
Ray Pruitt
was
the guy from My Favorite Martian.
Okay. Sheriff spokesman Ray Pruitt says it's unclear if a delay in seeking medical attention contributed to Ochoa's death. Tulare officials are investigating, and no arrests were made in the cockfight. Cockfighting is a sport illegal in the United States in which specially bred roosters are put in the ring and encouraged to fight until one is incapacitated or killed.
So he's dead?
And now, well, and something I did not know until I read this story last night is apparently, they strap weapons to the rooster.
Well, they put blades on their ankles.
I didn't know that. I thought they just made them peck at each other or something.
Really?
Yes.
They don't have metal beaks. They're not robococks, Don.
Well, I mean, I didn't know they were making them, like, you know, going like the Jets versus the Sharks with, like, switchblades or something.
Yeah, no, they totally have these little knives that are strapped to their ankles.
Yeah. The fellow who died, by the way, he was fined last year for organizing cockfights.
This sounds like a Darwin watch, really.
So, yeah, he.
Fantastic. Well done. That, you know, that's a little nature. See, that's the earth cleansing itself right there. That's that guy being removed by his own stupidity. That is that's a little bit of a self-cleaning oven effect happening right there with the cockfight. Well done.
If it wasn't for the fact that chickens are so insanely stupid, I would like to think that the rooster knew what it was doing.
This guy says, what kind of a pussy dies from getting a knife wound in the leg? And from a miniature freaking knife at that, by the way. It's not even a full-size knife. It's a rooster-size knife. You know, that really is a guy we're better off without. He's weak.
So that means that there are people that's like kind of their job, isn't it? That they manufacture...
They manufacture tiny little knives to go in the ankles of roosters. Because it's not illegal. I think it's actually still legal in, like, where was this?
This is California, and it's only a misdemeanor in California.
It was until recently, and it was like full-on legal in, like, it was like Georgia. I don't know, some damn state I don't care about. Alabama or someplace. It was someplace in the South where, because it was something about, it's a guy running for office and, like, footage came out of him, like, attending a cockfight somewhere. And they, which, you know, it's not like I'm laughing at the notion of a cockfight as such. It's just like such, it's like, well, who does that? I mean, it's like, what kind of an off-the-charts rube do you have to be to still be doing that, like, on your Saturday, you know, when everybody else just goes to the mall or goes to the movies or something? But there was a whole thing about how, I think it was in Alabama, it was actually, as of like 2005, still legal to do it.
Wow.
Because it's, you know, because it's part of the rich cultural heritage, like guns and slavery.
I don't understand that.
No.
I don't understand getting enjoyment from that in any way whatsoever.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If the animal was slightly larger and if it was a human stabbing it, then we would call it a cultural ritual.
Oh, there we go.
And we'd call them matadors.
Or if we put boxing gloves on them and they just punched each other.
I mean, you could look at it this way. At least this way, the rooster is evenly matched. I mean, you know, it's not like it's anybody's, any creature's desire to get up and just go knife something else or to have knives, you know, thrust at them. But at least it's facing off something its own size and not being hunted by some guy with a high-powered rifle.
That's true.
This guy says, by the way, talking about getting gas on your hands, how are you getting gas on your hands? Are you pumping gas with your elbows? What the hell is wrong with you? Well, really, the answer to that question is just, that's a show in and of itself. It just seems impossible for me to put, I don't know what it is, man. There's like gas, it somehow gets spilled and it's like on the handle of the gas pump itself. It seems like without fail, every time I have to pump my own gas somewhere, it's like and I go out of my way. It's not like I'm just taking the thing and waving it around like I'm John Holmes, you know? Let me see if I can get this everywhere.
Are you shaking it off?
I always shake it off, Don. I give it a good three taps when I'm done. but it always just ends up on my hand. And then once it's on your hand, then it's like if you touch, like if you have to use the bathroom or something, you touch your fly or your shoes or you like put your hand through your hair at some point, and then it's like you just reek of petrol the entire day. It's a bad scene.
I spent my formative years in California and my early driving years in California where you pump your own gas. And as a young lady who would get all dressed up and go out on the town, I know I always had like, you know, a container of like baby wipe things in the car because if I had to pump gas and I was on my way out somewhere and I was dressed nice, you never knew when you were going to have to like just basically wipe yourself down after pumping gas.
It's like
gas.
Having those lemon scented paper napkins with you.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I should do that.
Yeah. All right. While NFL owners and players try to hash out a new contract, NFL fans are left waiting and wondering. Sports business analyst Rich Harrow says the current contract is set to...
Harrow!
Let's never do that again.
Here's the thing is, I knew that I could make you do that by doing it myself.
I goddamn parrot. Why did I do that?
I don't know, but the best part is that I just knew you would.
I couldn't help it. It just happened. If there's a lockout, the season will move forward for fans as if there will be football in the fall, but that doesn't mean that there will be.
The combine goes on. The draft goes on. No trades happen. No long-term contracts happen. And they just wait for both sides to stop the incendiary rhetoric and get a deal done.
I don't even know what the story's about. I did it just because of the guy's name. I don't even know what he's talking about there. If you put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you what he just said.
A Boston-bound Amtrak train derailed Monday afternoon just east of New York City's Penn Station. No injuries were reported among the approximately 147 passengers and an unspecified number of crew members. Amtrak called the accident, which occurred at 12:25 p.m., a low-speed derailment.
Really? Is that like a stroke being a minor circulatory issue of the head?
Yes. The passengers were taken back to Penn Station in Manhattan, where arrangements were made to provide them travel on another train. The line said it. The line also is used by the Long Island Railroad, but Amtrak said the East River tunnels, which take trains from Manhattan to Long Island, are not blocked, and Amtrak and Long Island Railroad trains are operating through the area with minimal delays.
Trains seem like a really outmoded technology. It seems like a thing we ought to be done with at this point.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't get to be like still traveling by hot air balloon or something, which apparently people do as well. Trains seem like a vestige of an earlier age that we ought to be done with.
We should have more of those little silver pill things go up and down to OHSU. Shouldn't they be like everywhere?
A tram?
Yes.
Yes. You know, here's the thing.
We have trams all over the place.
You remember how there was this time when everybody was bitching about the tram? Because it was for reasons that I can't even really remember now. But when somebody comes to visit you in Portland, whether or not you yourself personally take it or even like it, it's one of the first things you point out to people. You're like, look at the tram. And everybody goes, oh my, how space age and wondrous that is. And everybody thinks it's awesome. I want to know where all the people were that were thinking tram was going to, I don't know, it was going to eat their children's bones or something. The tram was going to destroy their lives.
Well, like everything else in Portland, in Multnomah County, they sucked it up and paid the taxes because they didn't have any choice. And then there were the people that live on the hill underneath the tram who sucked it up because they didn't have any choice, or they sold their house to somebody
else.
But,
what was the big problem with a tram, a thing being above your head? Skylab is above your head. The space station is above your head. Who cares?
In some cases, there are people who live on that hill underneath of it that people can see directly into their houses.
You know, that's not
the tram.
Here's the thing: that's not true because I've been on the tram and I tried like a bastard to see into people's houses.
Maybe you were looking out the wrong window.
Maybe it was maybe it was a cloudy day or something. Maybe there was just some sort of maybe the air had some sort of a shimmer going on that was preventing me from being able to see. Or maybe everybody just got those polarized windows or something. Or they had what are those things called? Curtains. Or maybe just walk around not waving their penis around, so maybe my eye wasn't drawn in their direction.
See, this is the thing. If you owned a house and you were on there and you didn't want to live there and you didn't want that, this was an opportunity to sell your house to an exhibitionist.
Yes, I remember taking the tram to the hill and I was like, all right, I get to see directly into some guy's house. And then it did not materialize. I was too busy being terrified of going over that huge hump halfway up. I was we were all just busy just clinging on for dear life because there's the thing. Have you gone on the tram?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome and terrifying. Because we have the folks who run the tram, our listeners, to the Rick Emerson show. And they were like, you ought to come and, take the trip up and down the hill. And it was, man, I got to tell you, it was the closest that I will probably ever be in my life. Unless I become a British pop star at some point and I get to ride on what's-his-name, Richard Branson's magical space hover thing. It was the closest I will ever be to living inside a science fiction film. Because when you get to the top, the tram makes this sound, and then this sort of big metal egg thing that you're in docks inside this sort of receptacle, like a receiving area, without actually touching the sides of it. And it is just for all the world like you're on one of those landing craft from V that is going up and docking back inside the mothership, but where it lands, and it almost seems like it's not actually touching the ground. It's almost like when it lands, it just hovers like on this tiny little cushion of air. It's just the most magical thing, except for the part halfway up when you're going over that supporting structure in the middle, because the supporting structure, I guess, because it has something to do with the way it sways in the wind, the top of the supporting structure is curved. And so it's like you're, I don't know, it's like you're just going up, it's like you're just going up a big fork, except instead of the tines going up, the tines sort of go over at an angle. And so as a result, when the tram goes over the top, you go up and then you go down and then the thing swings a little bit.
Yes, I drive on that freeway and I see it every single day and I see it swinging as it goes over the thing. And I think to myself, I'm not riding on the tram.
Yeah, it was. I don't know that I'm going to do it again anytime soon, but it was terrifying and wonderful. I'm glad I did it. That's the thing. I don't know that I'd do it again, but I'm glad that it was done by me.
Let's do entertainment.
Here's your entertainment news. For Tuesday at Legion of News.
Skateboarding icon Tony Hawk has filed for divorce from his third wife, Lotsie Merriam, at North San Diego County. We've made a difficult decision to file for divorce, the couple said in a joint statement. We remain deeply committed and loving parents to our daughter, and out of respect for that responsibility, we ask people honor our family's privacy during this important time of transition. Director Michael Moore is suing Harvey and Bob Weinstein, claiming they defrauded him of at least $2.7 million in profits from his 204 movie Fahrenheit 9/11. Moore claims that the Fellowship Adventure Group, which the Weinsteins created specifically for the documentary, failed and refused to share equally in the fruits of the venture as the partners agreed. The Weinsteins' lawyer, Burt Fields, claims that Moore received over $20 million for the film and, quote, he's not entitled to another dime.
It's hard to believe that Harvey Weinstein would be accused of acting improperly by anyone.
I know. The Weinsteins are... Yeah. Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Michael Pastor ruled today that television cameras will be permitted to film the involuntary manslaughter trial of Dr. Conrad Murray Woo! For the death of Michael Jackson. The judge also blocked cameras from jury selection and moved the trial date up to March 24th. Legendary supermodel Christie Brinkley will be joining Broadway's massively successful revival of Chicago from April 4th to June 19th.
As
Roxy Hart.
Really?
Yeah.
She's like 100.
Well, the part has been played by other stars, including Brooke Shields, Ashley Simpson, and Melanie Griffith.
Okay.
Apparently, being able to like sing and dance isn't a prerequisite
or being
for
able,
being in Chicago.
Maybe having people look at you without screaming in horror. Have you seen Melanie Griffith recently?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. I never found her attractive, but it's like, but at least she wasn't, but it didn't hurt to look at her. Like, it didn't cause, like, your eyes didn't feel like they were being sanded down. You look at her now, and it's just, man, it's all bad. It's like somebody left her on the radiator too long, and she just went all blobby.
I always imagine Antonio Banderas looking over at her and thinking to myself, my God, what have I done?
I have chosen so poorly.
Now I am stuck. British actress Amanda Holden, best known as a judge on Britain's Got Talent, had her second miscarriage in 9 months as her seven-month-old baby boy was stillborn on Tuesday. I'm not sure why this is news, but a British woman on Britain's Got Talent had a miscarriage. Finally, it's nothing but bad news today, really.
Seriously, I was going to say you're being like Johnny Killjoy over there.
Olivia Wilde and her husband have separated after 8 years of marriage, according to People.
Now, is that the chick who plays 13, or
yes.
Is that the chick that plays...
That's the chick who plays 13.
Okay, all right.
She recently starred in Tron Legacy. She married Tao Ruspoli, a filmmaker and Italian aristocrat, when she was still a teenager. Source told the magazine they have been living apart after trying for quite some time to make their relationship work.
That reminds me, we should do our house recap next hour.
Yes.
Because we forgot to do it last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago. Because there was no house last week. Am I right about that?
Right.
Was it one of those things where it's like when this sort of thing was possible, it was like a bait and switch? Next week on House, not House. It's something else.
They're trying to get people to watch Human Target cramming it in during time slots where people like are watching things they actually like. So I think it's thinking maybe it'll fool their TiVo or something. I have no idea what the thought process is.
So it'd be like in your vending machine where they normally put the Twinkies, they just went there and it was just a big pile of gravel.
Right.
We're trying to get people to eat more rocks and they just, you won't notice.
Yeah, you go, well, what the hell, I'll try the rocks since the Twinkies aren't here.
It must be kind of like the other thing. Why would they put it here otherwise?
Right.
All right. So we'll do our house recap next hour. Also, Geek Watch, Penis Watch, Democracy on the March. That's coming up next hour, plus the top five. Hey, if you're lucky, more science talk.
Oh, God, no.
I don't get this. You lived in Los Angeles, right?
Right.
So you know that, like, crap it put into the air doesn't go anywhere. You've flown into Los Angeles from somewhere clean.
But I also...
It just sits there.
It's so much more complicated than that.
I'm not saying that there aren't nuances to it, but I'm saying in general.
And chemicals and gases and stuff, they don't stay the same. They break down. They change on a molecular level.
And you're making that up.
And they do dissipate when they get further away from their source, and they are mixed with more oxygen and more air, clean air, and they're less likely to burn big holes in your lungs the further away you are from them.
Well, I guess, I mean, that is technically true, but I guess my point is, if there's enough of it, dissipation doesn't matter. Like, if there's a massively lethal amount, you could dissipate it by half, and it's still lethal.
Well, I'm not saying that it doesn't,
like,
as a whole, it doesn't, in the big picture, you know, harm the environment and pollute our environment.
I mean, have you seen that stuff over Los Angeles? That's like that thing of, like, where, you know, the Soviets, you know, only had enough to destroy the U.S. like 100 times over with their nuclear weapons, not 300 times over. It doesn't matter at that point. I mean, really. I mean, just fly into Manhattan sometime and just take a good long look at the air and you tell me how far that stuff goes once they put it out there. No, it doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. It goes into your children's lungs.
Okay.
Seriously,
sure.
Tumors the size of guavas.
I get nothing.
You don't even know.
I give up.
Somebody accuses me of trolling today. I'm really not. This is a thing. It's like so rarely do I feel like I have a handle on how anything works. But the Earth being a closed system is one of those things. Because otherwise I just have to, like, think that, I don't know, that somehow there's, like, they're just, like, magical scrubbing bubbles with big googly eyes come out at night and they go, we'll get rid of it for you, Rick. Which would be great, don't get me wrong. That's awesome. And, in fact, that's what Sam Adams should do. If he wants to really just, like, if he wants to nail down just being voted into office, like, for life here and maybe being grand, irremovable dictator, he should totally create some sort of a street cleaning solution here in Portland that is, like, large-scale, active, workable versions of the scrubbing bubbles from the TV commercial. I would totally vote for him for anything he ran for after that.
Well, I was watching a program on OPB this weekend, and one of the things they were covering were the power plants that burn garbage, and they actually have created a way to burn garbage that it's as long as you burn all of the garbage hot enough and inside an enclosed thing, no, like, greenhouse gases get out, and you can create electricity with it, and it's awesome. And there, and most of these places that are doing this are just selling the electricity back to cities, but again there are a couple of cities in Europe where the entire city operates on their own, like, garbage and manure and compost from neighboring farms, and they create all of their own electricity in, like, a closed grid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stuff can be destroyed. I mean, stuff can actually be reduced to its component molecules.
I think if you want to make Portland, like, the damn city of the future, you know, forget building trams, you know, and streetcars. You know, get us one of these garbage-burning, compost-destroying, you know, electrical plants and have us create our own damn electricity.
Well, the thing is, because then we could actually just, instead of just having to, like, send all of our crap to California, which we apparently do with, like, our water, our electricity, our everything. So, by the way, somebody says, I'm almost impressed. You're the only man who can successfully troll his own show. I feel like I should be calling myself on the phone.
Rick, you're an idiot. No, I'm not.
Rick, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I'll take your call off the air. Thanks. All right. By the way, somebody else wanted to be known that for reasons that it has understanding. In New Mexico a few years back, Wilford Brimley was advocating for cockfighting to be kept legal.
Oh, Wilford Brimley.
Okay. Wrong thing to do, Wilford.
That's all the...
Really? We got like 3 minutes to kill here. What are we going to do?
Well, I can read other stuff, but the entertainment music should probably go away.
Okay.
Cedar Rapids police arrested an angry man who took a crowbar to the windows of his own car. Police say it had been up on blocks for more than 90 days, violating a city ordinance. The Gazette of Cedar Rapids says 39-year-old Scott Gillis told an officer on Thursday that he wasn't going to have his car taken away, and he grabbed the crowbar and began smashing the car's windows. Sergeant Robert Collins said Gillis was screaming and going crazy, so he was arrested on suspicion of interference with official acts and disorderly conduct.
I like the idea that it says in the police report that he was, quote, just screaming and going crazy.
Yes.
That there is no, like, the suspect became irascible and resisted attempts to be subdued or to modulate his behavior in any way. It was just sort of just plain nuts.
Gillis said Friday he had stored the car for the winter on blocks in his yard and that he was unaware it was a violation and says he doesn't want it back either.
Okay. I'd like to leave everybody with this thought.
Polar bears are a part of where we live in our ecosystem, and they're a major animal, and letting them go extinct and letting them not have enough land to live because ice caps are melting isn't okay.
All right. Not okay. In case you were wondering which box to check there on your moral inventory.
Letting polar bears die isn't okay.
And it's right next to the Just Dandy box. So you really got to be careful with those ballots.
And they're a major animal.
That's right. It is the Rick Emerson... I'm sorry. It is Legion of News. The Rick Emerson radio program is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Geek Watch, Penis Watch, Democracy on the March. Also our house recap, Top 5 and more. That is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. For less than you might imagine, my friend. Oh, and we'll talk about my audition.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday for the mattress company. So it's all very exciting.
As man standing next to mattress.
Yes. The thing is, you just have no idea. You have no idea how great. I wish that, in a weird way, I wish you could have been there. I really was kind of wishing that I could have just, at one point, I was wishing that I could just have beamed you there to have you just apparate there, just have a little window into the auditioning process yesterday, because it was just, it was awesome. So that is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. rickemersonshow.com. Until then, we will do this. We'll bring down the curtain on another exciting episode of Legion of News, which comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district here in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic, brought up by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic Tuesday. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Have a fantastic day. See you tomorrow.